This morning I want to talk to you about the journey back to the cross. The journey back to the cross. I want you to go with me to two passages of Scripture. Go with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Let's start with verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now look with me at verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. Now go with me to chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceeding. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in this generation, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Again, brothers and sisters, I want to talk to you about the journey back to the cross. The journey back to the cross. Genesis 12 is the first encounter Abram, has with God. Abram is living in Mesopotamia, a very pagan land, a very pagan culture full of idols. And it's in this place that the Lord visits Abram, and he receives such a living revelation of the living God. And in response to this living revelation of God that he has had with God, he begins to follow God. He begins to journey with the Lord. In other words, the Lord truly becomes the Lord of his life. And he begins to follow after God's will for his life. And the Bible says that as Abraham resolved in his heart to follow after the Lord, God began to speak wonderful covenant promises to Abraham. That the wonderful covenant promises of God were coming alive in Abraham's heart. He began to understand what God wanted to do in his life, what God wanted to do through his life, the covenant promises God had for him. And the Bible tells us that as he resolved in his heart to walk with God, and the covenant promises were coming to life to his heart, the Bible says that Abraham made an altar unto the Lord. And brothers and sisters, we all know what that altar represents. It represents the cross. Every Old Testament sacrifice, every Old Testament altar that was truly constructed to Jehovah God, it always represents the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to me, this story represents the salvation experience. God reveals himself to our hearts. There's a moment in our life where God comes and he truly reveals himself to our heart. And with this living revelation, we begin to follow after the Lord. We accept him into our life. We make him the Lord of our life. We begin to walk in obedience to the Lord. And as we walk in this place of obedience to the Lord, the covenant promises just become alive to our heart. That we begin to understand the covenant promises. That we begin hearing lessons, and we begin hearing teachings, and we begin to hear anointed preaching on the covenant promises of God, and we begin to understand everything that is entailed in salvation, that God has so many promises for my life. And we begin to understand We truly begin to understand that it's only because of the finished work of the cross that the covenant promises can be mine. It's only because of what Jesus finished on the cross that the covenant promises are mine. That because of what Jesus did on the cross, it is finished. Again, what did we say it was? It is simply everything the Father desires to give lost humanity because of the finished work of the cross. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, now we are cleansed. The blood has cleansed us, made us clean vessels, and now we can receive everything that God has for us. And there comes a praise in the heart. There comes a thanksgiving in the heart. When you truly get that revelation of the cross and what it means to my life, every day of my life, there comes a gratefulness and a praise in the heart. And that praise is simply this: Lord, I thank you. Jesus, I thank you. You came. I thank you. You went to the cross. You died for me. I thank you that your blood has cleansed me. And now I am a clean vessel, a holy vessel that can receive everything the Father wants for me. It's because of what you did on the cross, Jesus, that all the promises of God are mine. I really love that thought. And that praise just begins to get into your heart when you understand the cross and the power of the cross. And when I think about the wonderful promises of God, I can't help but think of specific promises God gives us. The promises God gave to Abram were very specific promises. And there are times in our walk with God, in our own personal devotional life, where we will be reading the Word of God, and scriptures and promises will just begin to leap right off the page and into your heart. And you know God is speaking to me right now. You know God is giving a promise to me right now. He's speaking something out of the Word, and it's coming alive in my heart, something He wants to do in my life. You know, I love how the Holy Spirit, when you're reading stories in the Bible, how He can take the character out of the Bible and put you in the Bible, put you in the story. He does it so supernaturally. In other words, it's no longer about the woman with the issue of blood, but now it's about me and my issue. It's no longer about David and his giant, but now it's about me and my giant and the wonderful miracles God wants to do in my heart. God wants to do in my life. God begins to speak specific promises to my heart and your heart. Listen, God is going to change me. God is going to use my life for His glory. God is going to teach me how to walk in victory and how to walk in freedom. The promises of God become real in our life. This is what happened to Abram. As he began to walk with God, the wonderful and miraculous promises of God were suddenly being spoken to him, coming to life in our heart. But brothers and sisters, in our story, Abram made a mistake. In Genesis 12, he hears God say, "I will give you this land, and I will bless you." But he really didn't hear, because he spends the next 24 years trying to work out the covenant promises and the strength of his flesh. He heard God say, "This is what I'm going to do in your life. This is what I'm going to do through your life." And he heard it with his ear, but he really didn't hear it with his heart. Because in the strength of his flesh, he begins trying to work out the covenant promises of God. And we know this because he moves to a place of creating Ishmaels, trusting in the strength of the flesh. He really didn't hear what the Lord said. So in other words, he left that altar in his heart, which represents the cross, to try and work out the covenant promises in his own strength. And listen, you can't blame him. You really can't blame him for doing that. When you think about it, you really can't blame him for doing that, because it's a natural thing to do. Listen, when you lived your whole life walking in the strength of the flesh, relying on your own strength, relying on your own abilities, it's really just a natural thing to do, so you can't blame him. You have to remember, he was 75 years old when God appeared to him. He has walked upon this earth a long time. He was a man set in his ways. So when it came to working out the covenant promises in his life, it was just a natural thing to do, to move in his own strength. And every believer does this in some measure or another. Now understand that. Every believer does this in some measure or another. We come to the cross, we ask Christ to come into our heart, and then we leave the altar, we leave the power of the cross, and try to work out the covenant promises of God in our own strength. We leave that place of trusting and resting that on the cross, Jesus purchased my sanctification, and the Holy Spirit is the life in me, changing me as I rest in the finished work of Christ. We leave this simple trust to looking to our own strength. Why? Because again, brothers and sisters, self-strength is so ingrained in this old nature, this sin nature. It's so ingrained in us. Listen, it's just a natural thing to do, to walk in self-strength and rely on self-strength and rely on self-effort and all these things. It's just a natural thing to do. Beloved, if God has convinced me of anything in my walk with God, it's simply this. When you are first born again, that doesn't mean you're walking in the fullness of God's strength. When you are first saved, doesn't mean you have left self-strength and you're now walking in the fullness of God's strength. No. In our life, God has to smite self-strength and smite self-strength and teach us how to walk in His strength and teach us how to be carried by His grace. God has to do that in the life of every believer. When we are first saved, it doesn't mean we're walking in the fullness of the Lord's strength. In order to walk in the Lord's strength, God has to smite self-strength. And until we learn to walk in His strength and to walk in His grace, there is a degree of self-strength we'll walk in. There's a degree of self-strength we'll trust in. Every believer goes through this. Just as God led the children of Israel through the wilderness to humble them, every believer has a wilderness to walk through where God humbles us and strips us of independence, bringing us more and more into dependence upon Him. And with ever-increasing humility comes ever-increasing strength. If God has taught me that, that is the secret of growing in the strength of the Lord. It's ever-increasing humility that brings ever-increasing strength. That the more God shows us our need for Him, our dependence upon Him, the more He strips us of that independence and brings us more and more in that realization that I need Him every day of my life. With that humility comes ever-increasing strength. That is the secret to the Lord's strength. So Abraham walked this path of dying more and more to self-strength. This path of failing in his own strength and seeing more and more how powerless and helpless self-strength is. Beloved, he walked this path for 24 years. It took him 24 years to get to a place, we're fixing to talk about it. It took him 24 years of dying to self-strength. God took him on a journey where he began to strip him of self-strength and strip him of self-strength. Until his absolute dependence was upon the Lord. He had nowhere else to look but to the Lord. And then after 24 years, we come to Genesis chapter 17. Go with me again to Genesis chapter 17. Verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. So as we saw in verse 1, 24 years has passed, and God again comes to Abraham and begins to talk to him about the covenant promises of God. One more time, 24 years has passed, and God one more time comes to Abraham, and he begins to reveal to Abraham, this is what I want to do in your life. This is what I want to do through your life. And the Bible says, as God began to talk to Abraham, Abraham fell upon his face. Now, everybody, you need to hear this, please. You need to hear this. The Bible says when God came to talk to Abraham again about the covenant promises, Abraham fell upon his face. So the question is, why did Abraham fall upon his face? The reason why Abraham fell upon his face is because he's finally empty before the Lord. The reason why Abraham fell upon his face is because he has finally exhausted all of his resources and all he can do is fall upon his face, fall before the Lord, depleted and empty. Abraham fell upon his face because he's spent. He's through. He has nothing left. He has nothing left. All of his resources has been spent. Now, the only thing he can do is fall at the voice of the Lord, before the voice of the Lord, and hear what God wants to speak to him. And this is what I want us to understand. You have to see this in the spirit. He is right back at the foot of the cross. Abraham is right back at the foot of the cross. He is at the place where he realizes how powerless, how strengthless he is in himself. And now all he can do is come back to that altar where he heard God speak the covenant promises in his heart. He's almost right back at the beginning place. But he's not, because now there's something in his heart. It took 24 years to get it in his heart. So even though it looks like he's at the beginning place, right back at the foot of the cross, something has happened in his heart. Amen. And now that Abraham is finally through 24 years of walking and trying and failing in self-strength, walking and trying and failing in self-strength, and he's finally through, he doesn't have anything left. And he's bowing before the Lord. What is God's response? Look with me at verse 6. And the Lord says, "And I will make you exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God." So he comes to Abraham in this place of being spent. And then God begins to speak to Abraham. "Abraham, now this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to drive out the Canaanites. I'm going to make this land your possession. I'm going to form your seed into a nation." God is saying, "I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Abraham, I'm going to do it." Abraham is finally at a place where he's not just going to hear it in his ear and in his mind. He can now hear it in his heart. Because God brought him to a place of understanding. You can't do anything in your self-strength, Abraham. You can't do anything. Nothing. The one thing God is conveying to Abraham is this. "Abraham, I don't need 1 ounce of your strength. And I don't need 1 ounce of your self-effort. If anything, I just need you to understand how powerless and strengthless you are, and then put your absolute faith in me. That's what I'm looking for, Abraham." You know, I love something Pastor Carter said. Pastor Carter said, "Have you ever noticed in the scriptures it's only dead people that hear the voice of the Lord? Lazarus, Tabitha, they really hear his voice clearly. That's where Abraham is at. He's dead. And now that when God says, 'I will,' it's no longer here. He's able to hear it here. Because he's dead." Amen. Now hear me. I believe with all my heart, every Christian has to make this journey back to the cross. We have to come to the place of seeing how powerless we are in our own strength to produce covenant promises. And one more time, look to Christ and his finished work on the cross. Every believer has to journey across that threshing floor of personal failure and self-disappointment in some measure or another, and understand more and more how powerless I am, and look more and more away from ourselves and the Christ's victory on the cross. Every believer has to come to that place where they can say, not in the head, but from the heart, "Jesus, when it comes to seeing the covenant promises come to life in me, it's not because of what I can do, but because of what you have done. It's not because of anything I can finish, but because of everything you have already finished on the cross. I bow at the foot of the cross, trusting and resting in your finished work." Every believer has to make this journey. Every believer. Because self-strength is so ingrained in every believer. So every believer has to make that journey through the wilderness where God humbles us and humbles us and calls us to see more and more. Your own strength is futile. It's powerless. It's strengthless. And you need to look to me. Every believer has to make the journey back to the cross. It's like we get saved and we're at the cross and we thank God for the cleansing of the blood and justification, but we don't understand the power of the cross when it comes to sanctifying a believer. So because we don't understand it and we only see the cross in the light of justification, it's like after we get saved, we start journeying away from the cross to sanctify ourselves and work out the promises of God in our own life. It's like we leave the power of the cross. But here's the good news. The moment we take that first step away from the cross, that's the beginning of the journey back to the cross. The journey has begun. The lessons has begun. You cannot do this in your own strength. And it's like coming back full circle again. Well, one more time, we fall upon their face and say, God, it's not about what I can finish in my life. It's about what you already finished on the cross. You didn't just buy my justification on the cross. You bought my sanctification on the cross. You bought my liberation from the power of sin. You bought the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All the spiritual blessings that are in Christ, you bought it on the cross. It's not what I can finish. It's what you've already finished. And he brings you full circle right back to the cross. Where it's no longer trusting in what I can do, but what he has already done. I truly believe every believer has to make this journey. For some, it doesn't take as long to make as others. But in some measure, everyone has to make this journey. Why? Because self-strength is so ingrained in us. We so naturally begin to move in self-strength. It's as though we get saved and start journeying away from the cross by trying to produce the covenant promises in the strength of the flesh. But the moment we step away from the cross, this is our first step on our way back to the cross. And yes, it's not an easy journey. It's a very humbling journey. But here is the good news. When you are finally at the end, when you are finally bowing again at the foot of the cross, you are ready to hear God say, I will. Not here, but here. I will. Amen. Let me just reiterate again what Pastor Carter said. Very powerful. Have you ever noticed the only people that heard Jesus' voice clearly were dead people? People like Lazarus and Tabitha, they were dead. And when Jesus spoke, they heard him clearly. Did everybody just hear what I said? Did you? Okay, well then here's the question. Are you dead yet? Only those that truly are dead, they know they're dead, can really hear his voice clearly. So are you dead yet? Are you dead to trusting in yourself? Are you dead to trusting in your strength? Are you dead to trusting in your self-effort? Are you dead yet? Then congratulations, you are ready to hear in your heart God say, I will do it. I will perform it. I will accomplish this in your life. Just trust in me and rest in me. I will do it because I am the author and the finisher. Are you dead yet? I believe there are many people that have made the journey and they're at the foot of the cross. And I believe there are many people that are on the journey. They haven't made it there yet. They haven't really made it there yet to that place of truly understanding how powerless I am. But they're on the journey. They are on the journey. And that is the reward. When you finally come to that place where you can hear him say it in your heart, I will do it. That means you're in a place of such trust and rest in the Lord, and the covenant promises of God are ready to explode in your life. Explode. So here's the question I want to end with, and it's a big one, so please give me your attention. Pastor Tim, how do I know when I made it back to the cross? How do I know when I have come full circle and I'm bowing at the foot of the cross, trusting not in what I can do or finish, but in what Christ has already finished? How do you know? Because you finally come into new covenant joy and rest. That's how you know. How do I know when I finally made full circle? Because you finally come into new covenant rest and joy. Let me show you that. Go with me to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. Look with me at verse. Oh, let's just read verse 1 through 6. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare unto him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Verse 6, and Sarah said, God had made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Right? So Abraham and Sarah named their child Isaac, and we all know what the word Isaac means. It means laughter. God has made me to laugh. And so it's speaking about joy is what it's speaking about. Now, here's what I want us to understand. Sarah had her child and was happy for finally having a child. But her joy goes much deeper than just having a baby. The joy that she's talking about isn't so much the child as it is the testimony that's bound up in the life of the child. This deep-seated joy she's talking about isn't so much, I have my little bundle of joy now, as it is the testimony that's bound up in the heart of this child. What's the testimony that's bound up in the heart of this child? Here's Sarah's testimony. It's simply this. After many years and many tears because of much failure, looking to the strength of the flesh, I have finally come to the place in my heart where I know I don't have to strive in my own zeal and strength to produce the promises of God. All I have to do is love God and walk in obedience to the Lord and rest in what He had promised, and He will fulfill His promise no matter how impossible. I am finally in a place of rest and trust in the Lord that He will do what He said. That's her joy. You got to understand, when she named the baby Isaac, laughter, yes, the little baby brought joy to her heart. She finally had little Isaac, and that's a wonderful thing. But that's not the deep joy she's talking about. She's talking about the testimony that's bound up in this life of this baby that is now living in her heart. My joy, my rest is this. When it comes to producing covenant promises from God, He's the one that will do it. I don't have to strive in my own strength and my own efforts. God is the one who said it. God is the one who will work His miraculous promises in my life. He will do it. And because that is living in my heart, not in my head, in my heart, there is a rest in my soul. There is a rest in my soul. So let's answer the question. How do I know when I have come full circle and bowing again at the foot of the cross, trusting not in what I can do, but in what Christ has already done? When you are finally resting in Christ and fully trusting in Him to produce His life in you, then you have made it back to the cross. Hear this. When, in spite of your weaknesses and imperfections and failures, you can rest, in spite of it all, you can rest, knowing God is doing a phenomenal work in your life, then you have made it back to the cross. When you are not living in self-despair and self-condemnation and self-disappointment when you make mistakes and falter, but even in these times there is a joy and rest in your heart, because you know the Holy Spirit is changing you from glory to glory, this is when you have made it back to the fruit of the cross, resting in Christ's finished work. This is new covenant joy. Most people live in that period of self-despair and condemnation. You know what? We haven't made it back to the foot of the cross. But we're on a journey, getting there. And when you come to that place where you can just rest and trust, then in spite of my failings and my falterings, I got to rest in a joy in my heart, because God is doing something phenomenal in my life. Then you have made it back to the foot of the cross, empty before God, truly looking fully to Him. Not what I can finish, but what you have already finished. Then you've made it. Amen. But some would say, Pastor Tim, it sounds like you are being soft on sin. Beloved, I'm not talking about the people that view grace as a license to sin. But I'm talking about people that love God and have separated themselves to the Lord and to obedience, but they are not perfect yet because they are not in heaven yet. That's who I'm talking about. They make mistakes and fall short in areas of their life and repent when they need to repent when the conviction comes. But even in the falling short, there is a rest and joy in their heart because they know God is fulfilling His covenant promises in their life. They do not live in self-condemnation. They do not live in self-disappointment. They do not live in self-frustration. They do not live in self-despair. There is a joy and a rest in their heart because they know God is the one working His promises out in their life. And what is impossible with man is possible with God. They are the ones that have made it back to the cross and have finally come into new covenant joy. Are you there yet? Or are we still on the journey? The good news is, if we're not there yet, we're on the journey. So let's end with this. Okay, Pastor Tim, as a believer, what is my part? As God is working out His covenant promises in my life, what is my part? Go with me back to Genesis 17, verse 1. It says, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Beloved, when you look up that word perfect, God said, walk before me and be thou perfect. When you look up that word perfect in the Hebrew, the very first word you're going to find, definition you're going to find, is the word integrity. Integrity. As God is working out His covenant promises in our heart, we do have a responsibility. And our responsibility is to walk in godly integrity. To separate ourselves to the Lord and daily make the choices that honor Him. Our part is by the power of the Holy Ghost lay down sin and disobedience. To separate from the things of the world that dishonor the Lord. To truly make Christ the Lord of our lives and walk in obedience to Him. That is our part. That is our part. We can do that by the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit in our life. But one more time, understand where your strength comes from. Where does my strength come from? Comes from that faith. Just resting in Christ and the work He finished on the cross. When I'm just resting in the finished work of the cross, my faith is in Christ and what He finished on the cross. All the resources of God come through that channel of faith. You know, the Lord taught me something. In every story in the Bible where it tells a believer they need to do something, then we need to do it. But if you look in that story, you'll always find the cross somewhere. God has taught me, Tim, before you even begin to look at what you need to do, find the cross in the story. Because when you are resting in Christ and what He did on the cross, that is the channel where the strength of God comes into your life to do whatever I'm telling you to do. In every story, I always find the cross first. Remind myself again, Jesus, my strength, just like my justification, my strength comes from the finished work of Christ on the cross. Jesus, You purchased everything the Father gives me through Your blood on the cross. And when I remind myself of that again and rest in that again, then I find my part. And I'm able to do my part. Love my neighbor. Forgive those that have hurt me. Walk in the Spirit. Obey the Lord. Lay down sin. The strength is there to do it. Amen. Stand with me this morning.